We have been training cops in our state to be what's called drug recognition experts, DREs. So we have around 70 DREs in Connecticut now. They are extremely high trained individuals who go away for a course. They learn how to conduct an assessment of an individual, and they're able to tell what type of drug they're impaired by.
This blew my mind. If you missed the interview, that is the commissioner for the Department of Transportation here in Connecticut, Garrett Ucolito, and he was talking to us recently this month about how there are specialized officers in our state whose job is to detect if a driver is high behind the wheel. And let's be honest, since the legalization of marijuana in Connecticut a couple of years ago, there are more and more concerns about drivers who are impaired, specifically high drivers. But there's no breathalyzer. And unfortunately, by the time you arrest them and you do a drug test, you may not even be able to see the drugs that were in their system. And so I was incredibly intrigued by this information. I had no idea that we had dozens of these specialized officers. And so immediately I said to Garrett and his team, please, can I talk to one of these officers? And they got me the cream of the crop. I'm very excited to have Patrolman Gil Maffeo here, who is a drug recognition expert instructor. He's also been a police officer for 25 years and a drug recognition expert for 14 years. First of all, Gil, thank you so much for being here, and thank you for your service. We really appreciate the work that you do and for giving us the time here on WICC.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
This blew my mind, Gil. I did not know that we had these officers. And when I hear that you've been a drug recognition expert for more than a decade, that is well beyond the amount of years that we've had legal marijuana here in Connecticut. So talk to us. What is a drug recognition officer or expert?
So a drug recognition expert or drug recognition officer, what they do is, as the commissioner had spoke about, they've attended training and they learn about specific drug categories and what you would see with those categories of drugs. A DRE is going to be called in post-arrest, so an officer out on the street is going to have made that arrest. So if an individual blows into the breathalyzer and their blood alcohol level is not consistent with the level of impairment, or if it's just drugs in general, then a drug recognition expert will come in and do an evaluation on that individual.
So in real time, Gil, like on the highway there, or no?
No, it's a post-arrest thing. It's just like, you know, a person is taken into custody, they're brought back, they're asked to submit to a breath test or provide a urine sample or a blood sample. And at this point, that's when a DRE would come in. It would be at the officer's request or a supervisor's request. And oftentimes it's the DRE themselves that have made the arrest roadside, and then they come in and they want to do a further evaluation on that individual.
So let me understand this, Gil, because I think this is so fascinating. And again, for the last few years, since we have legalized marijuana, this is a huge concern for so many people. And you consistently hear that there's no breathalyzer to detect, oh, this guy was high behind the wheel. This gal had, you know, this X amount of drugs in their system. We really can only detect alcohol at this point still, at least in real time on the highway right then and there. But what I think is interesting is, correct me if I'm wrong, so let's say you seem impaired, a breathalyzer shows some kind of an inconsistency, you shouldn't keep driving essentially. And can you see it accurately, the amount of drugs in your system by the time your arrest was done and you're back in headquarters?
Well, that's kind of like something that people have a tough time wrapping their head around.
Yes,
is,
that's why I asked.
You know, alcohol has a breathalyzer, but before you get to that breathalyzer, you have all the signs and symptoms of impairment, and they are able to successfully prosecute individuals without providing a breath or urine sample based on what the person is displaying. And that's what the DRE has been taught, and that is what the DRE is going and looking for, is if this person is under this specific category of drugs, are they displaying, you know, these signs and symptoms? You know, there's specific ones that you would see with someone under the influence of alcohol. But if you have an individual that's under the influence of Xanax, which is also a central nervous system depressant, and they've taken too much of that Xanax, they are going to display exactly like that individual that has been drinking alcohol. It's just there's not going to be an odor on their breath.
Mm.
All right. So what is that person displaying? They would have bloodshot, you know, glassy eyes. They would have slurred speech. They would have poor coordination. When you're looking at the eyes, they would display nystagmus. So we're looking for those things. Not all of the categories of drugs have the same effect. You know, so we're trained to look for those specific things. And what we're saying is that the individual is impaired by a specific category. We can't necessarily get down to the specific drug unless it's like we're dealing with someone who's under the influence of cannabis. Then we can say, yes, we believe that this person is under the influence of cannabis, and these are the reasons why. And then we're saying that we feel that this individual is not safe to operate a motor vehicle. After that is done, we're able, if we're able to get like a tox sample, that tox sample is then sent up to the State of Connecticut Forensic Lab, and then it's going to show the presence in that. And, you know, people will say, well, you know, I can test positive for something, you know, days, weeks later. That is correct. However, if you are actively impaired, you would be displaying those signs and symptoms at the time. And that's what the drug recognition expert is trained to see. But other officers who are not DREs are being trained to look for those signs and symptoms.
I am learning so much about how these specialized officers are trained to detect drivers impaired specifically by drugs. And my question, we've got Gil Maffeo here today to talk more about this, a drug recognition expert instructor. Gil, the thing I'm curious about is with, you know, if you're drinking and driving, you've got breathalyzers, like I said, and that is so easy to hold up in court. What kind of evidence can you bring to that would hold up in court if it's a high driver, though?
Well, you know, let's look at, you know, everyone focuses on cannabis. But if you look at, there's a lot of drivers out there that have been under the influence of fentanyl lately. If you look at the way someone who presents that's on fentanyl, which is a narcotic analgesic, they'll have constricted pupils. You will have that as being documented. You will find the fentanyl or maybe some of the paraphernalia in the car. But, you know, as we're doing that evaluation, the person's going to have low pulse, low blood pressure. Their pupil size is going to be very small. And then once we get that tox sample, it's going to show that fentanyl was in their system. That evaluation is showing that at the time of operation, at the time of arrest, that the fentanyl was actively in that person's system and was impairing them. So we're going to rely on, you know, urine. We're going to rely on blood. Connecticut has started a phlebotomy program. So you're going to see that in the future. And with the officer's observations, an arrest report, a DRE evaluation report, and then toxicological evidence, that is what is presented. And then, you know, they'll have to go through per se, and then they're going to have to go through criminal court. What people forget is that we have to show that the person is impaired. We don't have to say that they are over a limit or, you know, there's a certain amount. What we do in Connecticut is that we are reporting that that person is impaired at the time. And that's ultimately what the DRE is going in and recording and then later documenting for court.
Gil, can you give me more information? You just mentioned that Connecticut is soon going to roll out a phlebotomy program, which for people who don't know, that's drawing blood, essentially.
Yes.
Is that something, when you say a phlebotomy program, are you talking about like something done in real time where if like right then and there? Or what do you mean? What is that?
So when you are placed under arrest for impaired driving, an officer can say to the person, you know, I would like you to provide a sample. It's either blood, breath, or urine. Right now, if we want a, you know, to draw your blood, we would have to get a warrant. But a person can volunteer that. So I'm kind of talking outside of my realm. Kevin McNeil from Department of Transportation actually is heading up the phlebotomy program. And that would be another option where, you know, the person can have their blood drawn, you know. So there's more options out there.
Interesting, Gil. Well, then I guess I'm going to have to make a call to Kevin McNeil. Josh Morgan, if you're listening from the DOT, we got to get Kevin on next. I think this is fascinating to me, I tell you, Gil. And I think it's really important, like you just mentioned, that a lot of times we sort of are worried about things, but we don't have the concrete answers of how we're addressing it. And it takes, you know, digging into it and talking to the people who are on the grounds doing it. Do you feel like, Gil, this is the last thing I want to ask you, because I could go on and on. Do you feel like we are seeing an uptick in impaired drivers, specifically drug impaired drivers in Connecticut, especially since we legalized marijuana? Do you feel like we're seeing that, or has this always been an issue and overwhelmingly alcohol is the bigger problem?
I think that impaired driving has always been an issue in our state. You throw that in there with, you know, our roads are very crowded. And then you have people's, you know, attitudes like that they're not doing anything wrong. You know, we have a problem with alcohol impaired drivers. Then you throw marijuana in there. Very early in my career, when we'd have a fatal motor vehicle accident, the majority of the time, it would show that when we get tox results back, that the individual was under the influence of alcohol and cannabis.
So that was before it was legalized here. Again, going back to your history. Wow. Okay.
And then, you know, but the other thing is people don't understand that cannabis affects you differently. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not something where it's going to be really quick. You know, people feel, I'm fine. But cannabis will slow down your response times. But with a lot of these drug categories, what goes hand in hand, we find is that the violation that is in correlation with impairment is speed, because people become overconfident. They have a difficult time multitasking as they're driving. So, you know, specifically if someone's under the influence of cannabis, they might feel that they're moving slower and they're going to overcompensate and go faster. Mm. And when you throw speed, you throw congested roads, and that mix into everything.
It's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah. And it's a tough situation. And I know that the partners between, you know, the law enforcement agencies, Department of Transportation, have worked tirelessly over the years. A gentleman by the name of Eddie Hedge, who was the first DRE coordinator, really was talking about, hey, when the legalization of marijuana occurs, we need to be ahead of it. And that was something that he really pushed in getting DRE trained officers, as well as officers that are trained in A-RIDE, which is Advanced Roadside Impaired Driving Enforcement. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like the bridge between the standardized field sobriety tests and the DRE program. Currently, Rob Klin is the DRE coordinator, and he's done the same thing. He works in partnership with the police academy to ensure that A-RIDE programs are being put out there every month for officers around the state, but also, you know, officers like myself do satellite ones at our agency. So, you know, the program has grown. Mm. We've been blessed with great leadership, and I'm hoping that it continues to stay that way. You know, because we definitely have a problem, but I'm convinced that, you know, we have the right players in place, and that eventually we're going to be able to make our roadway safer. This is not something that's going to happen overnight.
Right.
It's going to be a big partnership, and I'm confident that things are going to get better for us on our roads.
Well, I love to hear that. And Gil Maffeo, again, I want to thank you for what you do professionally and for sharing all of this insight here on WICC. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to speak about something that is very important to not just myself, but everyone in our state.
Agreed. I couldn't agree more. Gil Maffeo, thank you so much.